Hi, I'm Ben Miller from University Relations here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and we're a proud sponsor of WISP Politics and WISP Business Podcasts.
You're listening to WISP Business, the podcast, Wisconsin's business news source. Now, here's your host.
Hi, everybody. This is Alex Moak here for WISP Business, the podcast. Today, I'm joined by Doug Kelly, CEO of the American Edge Project, a bipartisan group focused on promoting America's tech sector. Doug, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Alex.
So to start us off, why don't you just tell me a little more about the American Edge Project and the work that you do?
Sure. So the American Edge Project is a coalition of about two dozen other organizations. And what we do is we stand up and fight for American technology. America's innovators play a critical role in the success of our country, and we have to beat China in this tech race that we're in with them. Otherwise, it's really going to be a threat to our national security, our economy, and ultimately American values. So that's what American Edge does.
Gotcha. So maybe expand a little bit on that relationship. You know, obviously tech competitiveness with China is a big topic, especially here in Wisconsin. You hear manufacturers talking about that, other industries. How do you view that dynamic right now? And how do you think it's going to evolve in the future, you know, as it informs the work that you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. And look, originally I'm from Michigan, right? And I grew up in the 80s where American manufacturing muscle was the envy of the world. Well, lawmakers passed some short-sighted policy decisions that really handed that manufacturing edge to China, and we haven't got it back. Communities lost hundreds of thousands of jobs, and America overall lost about 5 million jobs. So that's kind of the background that I come in here. So now when I look at lawmakers talking about technology, they want to pass some of the same type of short-sighted measures that are going to undermine our technology sector as they did with manufacturing. But the difference is technology isn't just another sector, Alex. It's the very backbone of our national security, our economy, and our values as well. So there's a lot at stake here, and China is gunning for America's tech title, because they see that's how they're going to become the world's global superpower.
Absolutely. Do you have any examples of what you're seeing again now that is kind of that callback to the earlier era of legislative changes?
Yeah, sure. So we just released a study that looked at how excessive regulation hurts innovation. And we compared the US, China, and Europe. And we picked those three countries because basically, their economies combined comprise half of the world's GDP. So we felt, okay, that's a pretty good representative sample. And a couple of things we found was that Europe, despite having a similar number of people as America, great higher education institutions, and a strong business sector, what we found there was that the regulations that they passed really stunted their startup growth, undermined their ability to innovate, and is keeping them about 20 to 40% behind America when it comes to venture capital investments, to other things that help generate economic growth and innovation. But unfortunately, there's some lawmakers in the United States now that are looking to say, hey, we've got to regulate big tech. We've got to get on it. And they're looking over to Europe for examples of, okay, what could we do? Europe would be a tragic mistake in terms of importing regulations, because they have fundamentally crippled their ability to innovate in Europe. And so we do not want those laws here. And I'll give you an example, right? Out of the top 10 largest tech companies in the world, most of them are American, the rest are Chinese, and there are zero of them who are European. So be careful.
I see your point. And Doug, you know, I like to always kind of hone in the focus of our conversations here on the podcast on Wisconsin, or at least the Midwest, if possible. I know you're in Ohio, you know, and you've worked in DC, but you've had a good perspective, I think, on a lot of the country as well as the Midwest. What do these considerations mean most for manufacturers and other businesses right here in this region, tech companies? What should they be thinking about or even getting involved with at the legislative level?
Yeah. So, you know, the great success story about the Midwest, right, is we used to be kind of manufacturing focused. But what we're seeing is more and more technology hubs are sprouting all across the Midwest, whether in Ohio or in Milwaukee, right? Milwaukee just announced its 300th VC deal to help accelerate innovation and create new products to market. Like that's the sixth fastest growing one in the country. So you've got a real kind of gem there when it comes to innovation. So if some of these laws are passed that affect our ability to create supportive innovation ecosystems, it's going to hurt cities like Milwaukee. It's going to hurt investors willing to be put money into those business there. It's going to slow down an entrepreneur's ability to raise capital to move their product to market. So everybody has a stake in this, but I don't want it to be just focused on tech alone, right? Because like I said, tech is the backbone of it. You know, in Wisconsin alone, you have 460,000 small businesses that utilize all different types of American technology tools, from social media platforms to different advertising engines to you know, Zoom for meeting customers and products, right? There's a lot of different tools that your small businesses use, and it's growing more and more each time. But what's happening again is some of the bills that they're talking about doing in Washington are going to slow the development of those tools. It'll increase the cost of those tools, and ultimately that's going to take money out of the pockets of these small businesses. And one of the biggest dangers right now is the regulatory threat on innovation when it comes to artificial intelligence. Like, you know, look, I'm old enough, Alex, that when I was around before the internet, right? We didn't have cell phones, we didn't have the internet. We had to go to the library and look up stuff. But artificial innovation, artificial intelligence is like the internet 20 years ago. It is gonna take off. It is gonna transform every single industry. And it's going to make them better. It's going to make kids smarter. And it's going to really help our communities overall. But if we kind of restrict its development too much, it's going to hurt small businesses' ability to incorporate AI into their products, because most small businesses are two and three people. They're limited in what they can do and produce and the clients they can serve basically by their time. Artificial intelligence can help accelerate some of the, knock down some of the barriers, whether it's marketing, whether it's writing content or kind of reading all the different customer reviews and then coming up with solutions of how should we address these things. So we want to make sure that when we're supporting the innovation, we're doing it in a way that is productive to America's small business and not harmful.
Absolutely. I'm glad you bring up AI in the context of regulation, innovation, because you wrote a really interesting article recently focused on what you're calling a supermind database, you know, in China. Can you explain what that means in the context of what you were just talking about?
Yeah, sure. So China is our number one competitor when it comes to technology, and they're dead serious about it. They have a three-part plan to dethrone America's technology leader. The first part is they're investing more than $1 trillion in building their own technology capabilities. The second part is they're stealing as much technology from the U.S. as possible. And the third part is they want to make the world increasingly dependent on their technologies, because that gives them leverage. And so this supermind computer that they're developing is basically, they've taken 300 million scientific papers from around the world on cutting edge technologies, on future technologies, and dumped it into a database. They've married that with 120 other million different patent ideas, along with 150 million different scientists around the globe. So what allows them to do is say, okay, these are the technologies of the future. Let's either try and A, steal what they're doing here, and let's say Milwaukee maybe have some great new cutting edge idea. The other thing that they're talking about doing is they'll put some of their own operatives in that company here to be able to siphon out trade secrets. And that's not a scientific fiction thing there. That happens every single day, right? The FBI opens 2,000 cases a year on Chinese espionage, many of them of people who were in the plant taking that out of there. So the supermind is a serious thing. And so we have to really harden our defenses against cyber attacks. We got to make sure that we're protecting America's intellectual property.
Really interesting. I'll have a link below the podcast as well for listeners who want to check out that full blog post. They can go ahead and click through that. I really encourage giving that a read. And Doug, we're almost out of time here, but I want to give you a chance to just leave any final thoughts with our listeners that you'd like our listeners to take away from this discussion.
Yeah, Wisconsin's got a lot at stake in this debate. And Congressman Gallagher has been doing a great job in raising some of the concerns about China and what they're trying to do. I would encourage all of your listeners to pick up the phone and call their member of Congress or senator and say, hey, listen, we need you to stand up for American technology, not do things that handcuff our innovators. And if they do that, those folks are going to listen, and it'll have a definite impact overall in this debate.
Great. Thanks so much for sharing your perspective on the WISP Business Podcast, Doug. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to WISP Business, the podcast. Now stay tuned for a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Ben Miller from University Relations here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and we're a proud sponsor of WISP Politics and WISP Business Podcast. Did you know that almost 80% of UW-Madison's in-state students return to live and work in Wisconsin in the years after graduation? And almost half of all UW-Madison alumni are current Wisconsin residents. That's just one way we're driving our economy forward. UW-Madison is working for Wisconsin.